Hey, thanks for dropping by. Come on in.
Time to retire to the drawing room.
Music and a couple of guys who have no idea where they're from, where they are, who they are, or where they're going. But they have very rich stories to tell and a hell of an output. We're talking Hong Kong, Brazil, Egypt, Australia, all together in two people in this drawing room, an ethnic fusion collaboration story. David Chong is one of my guests. He was, now get this, born in Australia. He was the son of Chinese acrobats. And then, as you would expect in those circumstances, he grew up in Brazil before coming back to Australia when he was in his 20s. I don't know how you end up with a life story like that, but that's what his story is. He's a musician, he's a dancer, he's a very passionate cook, he's a psychologist, and he is now a guest in the drawing room, along with Joseph Tawadros, who is a veteran of this very esteemed room. He's also an acclaimed musician and oud player. He's born in Egypt, now he's based in Sydney. Gents, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Waleed.
Thank you very much.
I've got to say, Joseph, I am a bit befuddled by your latest release. I don't know what to make of it. You're on the front cover with oud strings on your hands rather than attached to an instrument, and then you go on and make it sound like a banjo. And I can't understand why anybody who is not playing a banjo would want to sound like they are playing a banjo.
Well, let's make it clear, it's not throughout the whole album. There's parts of it which are banjo-esque, but I love the banjo. What's wrong with the banjo? And by the way, there's a lot of people. You don't want to annoy the banjo community, man. They'll get something happening.
You've got to be careful. No, I've got no problem with that, Joe.
The banjo board, it's unbelievable. Don't get started.
David, you're a musician. Would you, and a jazz musician, and I think actually Joseph's exploring some jazz-like territory in this album. Would you, under any circumstances, want to sound like you were a banjo player?
If I'm playing a banjo, definitely.
But you wouldn't play a banjo, is the point.
Definitely. No, I don't. It kind of doesn't work with Brazilian music. But banjo is an incredibly difficult instrument to play.
Yeah. And, which is one of the small mercies that mankind has.
And where would deliverance be without that? So you look at, you know, you're looking for the small-term benefits. Look at the, you know, that changed movies. Look at that. No, come on. Well, the album anyway is about branching out into all sorts of territory and not making the oud such a just only an Egyptian or an Arabic instrument. And I'm glad you picked up on that, Waleed.
From the first bar, you can't miss it. Can I say congratulations, because it is a cracker of an album. The range, the diversity, and what you do with this instrument, as you say, taking it out of a Middle Eastern context, is astonishing. Why did you want to do that?
Well, look, I think it's with every album I do, I'm always searching for a new sound. I never have the same ensemble on the recordings, and just for this one, the Christian McBride, probably the greatest double bass player of all time, and Mike Stern, guitarist with Miles Davis. You know, we got them at the right time, and I wrote repertoire which was appropriate to them and appropriate to the time of my, I guess, compositional or musical growth. Yeah, it just seemed to work, and it all fell into place, and I know their sound, and I know their music, and was able to create music which was appropriate and something that we could grow from.
Now, David, you ended up, as a man with Chinese heritage, being a Brazilian jazz singer.
Mm-hmm.
Is this common? Does this happen very often?
It's somewhat unconventional, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, it was a way to negotiate my lonesomeness towards my culture.
Which culture?
The Brazilian one.
So for the purposes of this conversation, Brazilian is your culture?
When it suits me.
Okay. Fair enough.
But it depends on which grant application we'll lead.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I know how it is, buddy. Don't worry. I know how it is.
Thank you so much.
Wait until I put on the accent.
And until I need to go to a toilet and I become very Chinese in a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah,
The thing that's most appropriate for one to have multiculturalism and living multiculturalism is that on your good days, you take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You know, in the same way that there is a space of discrimination and not being able to fit you into a specific pigeonhole, and becomes incredibly naughty for people to kind of understand how it goes. Mm. One can take complete advantage of it, you know?
Yeah, and the great thing is that during the Olympics, you can follow China, and during the World Cup, you've got Brazil.
Well, oh, yeah.
So you're basically a man for all seasons. Any season, any situation that arises, you can find a home.
I can indeed.
Unfortunately, we can't follow Egypt in the World Cup. They haven't qualified since 1990.
No, don't we normally go out to Algeria and then start a fight in the streets?
Yeah,
somewhere?
Exactly. That's why You know what? I'm still bitter about Algeria. I won't support them after the qualifiers.
I remember that. I remember there was all this violence in the streets. Was it in Egypt or Algeria or both? And I couldn't figure out what it was even about.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was a qualifier to get into the World Cup.
And
they had to play the game in Sudan. So they couldn't play a home game over there.
They
had to play in Sudan. They had to have neutral territory. So
not since India played Pakistan in the cricket.
That's what happens when an Algerian marries an Egyptian. They have to do the wedding in Sudan.
By law of both countries.
Yeah, the neutral.
We're going to hear this oud / banjo now, Joe.
Sure.
This is a track called Bluegrass Nikadiz, which is the first track on this album. Cracker of a track, by the way. Is there anything you want to say before we hear it?
Basically, what you said earlier is the idea was to just branch out into, just to show that the oud can benefit a certain type of genre. You know, it can fit in well with a different genre that it's not used to.
Even if that genre doesn't benefit the oud.
If it doesn't benefit society.
That's right.
According to a lead.
Bluegrass and the Crees is the name of the track. It's the first track of Joseph Tawadros' new album, Permission to Evaporate. Let's have a listen. Yeah, Habibi, that's Bluegrass Nikadiz. It's the first track off Joseph Tawadros' new album, Permission to Evaporate. And David, as soon as you heard that, did you have the same reaction as I did, which is, what the hell is this?
This is absolutely amazing. It does sound like a banjo, but it's about showing one's amazing virtuosity of instrument. It is absolutely stunning and amazing.
And range. So Joseph, I get the sense...
I wasn't going to interrupt that because, you know, a tear was running down my cheek. Thank you very much.
is it popular in the deep south of Egypt?
Exactly. That's what they're doing. There's a lot of Egyptian straw chewers right now. In Egypt, they love their sugar cane. Family gatherings, everyone's got a bit of sugar cane and chewing off the end.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Egyptian bluegrass.
Indeed.
Brazilians do the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. Sugar cane, and we chew, and we talk about the notion of whistling. Can you whistle and chew sugar cane in the same time?
Can you?
No.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No, but there's a question.
Right.
Asubiadis, Shabakana. There's even a song, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
I think they're laying down the gauntlet for the Jippos to see if they can match that. What I like about this, though, Joseph, is that clearly you are very interested in dissolving boundaries here. Mm-hmm. This is part of the ethic of the album. But before I get to that idea more broadly, just in music, do you think that we're perhaps on the cusp of something with new kinds of fusion? Because in the past, we've had fusions of different genres that have then created great new genres, like jazz, for example, or blues, where ethnic traditions have come together to create something new. Is that going to happen again?
I'm not sure. I can't really comment with that. But I think there's more openness to other sounds. You know, if you listen to more mainstream kind of pop or hip hop or stuff like that, they're using those influences, which slowly, slowly kind of, you know, in the beginning, they kind of seem odd, but then they slowly, slowly creep up into the genre. But my approach to music, I guess, because I've been brought up in Australia, is the one of where I just love the oud so much. I feel it's an instrument in its own right that I don't want to put the ethnicity into it. It's just I want to create music which kind of touches on my emotions, and hopefully if I can get in touch with that and do my stuff with truth, then other people will connect with it on an emotional level, not on a level where, that's a Middle Eastern instrument, which, you know, it's kind of exotic. Oh, yeah, it is exotic. I get that. Oh, it's a little bit I did a gig once in Mount Isa. I said to the guy, "Man, did you enjoy the gig?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, it was different." You know? Yeah, and funnily enough, I'm not joking, he did say, "Do you ever play that with country music?"
And then, oh, there you were.
Yeah. And it was Mount Isa is actually the only place in Australia where when you're playing on stage, I said to you, at 9:30, you'll hear an explosion. Because of the mining. I thought, wow, the Middle East is back. It's great. You know, it's the only place I feel at home playing.
We're all the same when you dig beneath it, particularly at 9:30 when the explosions happen. So, David, this idea, though, of having multiple aspects to your identity or wanting to explore the limits of what an instrument can do within cultural settings that it's not normally placed, you'd be well placed to explore this sort of stuff, wouldn't you, because of the range of cultures that seem to be part of your life.
It has been something that I've been trying to translate into my music as well. I use the Brazilian genre we call MPB, Música Popular Brasileira, which is what in Australia you call it Brazilian jazz. In reality, it's not jazz. It's a style and a genre that encompasses a lot of different sort of rhythms. Our guitarist, Nathan Slater, he is better known as flamenco guitarist, and he plays the Brazilian genre with that flamenco je ne sais quoi.
Right.
I wiggle my bum in a way that a Brazilian wiggles. The bringing together is about, on the lyrics, people will not, all the songs are sang in Brazilian Portuguese. Even if you don't understand the words, you understand the feeling. So We're trying to transcend the spoken word into the emotive space.
And the universality of music. That's the idea at the heart of it.
How does it touch you? How do you feel?
But you're in a very good position to tell us about universality, because let's just go through it again. Your parents were acrobats from China.
Mm-hmm.
They come to Australia.
Yes.
You're born in Australia.
Indeed, in the middle of the road.
In the middle of the road?
Well, while they're touring in Australia.
Oh, right. I was going to say, which street? Is there a plaque?
This grant application's sounding great.
I know.
That's all. Joseph, give me a hand.
It's better and better. But, okay, but then you grew up in Brazil.
Yes. They traveled around the world. They couldn't stay in Australia. They stayed here for around 5 years. I was born on the 3rd, staying here until I was 2 years old. They traveled around. They went to Ed Sullivan's show at least twice. I just discovered that in one of our family pictures, I have Jacques Brel there. And I was very tiny.
Yeah.
And we arrived in Brazil to work in an Italian circus.
In an Italian circus? Okay.
Yeah, as you do. The one your parents go and work in an Italian circus. And they decided to settle in Brazil. It was after the second coup d'etat. So Brazil had this facade of wonderful development, all with borrowed money.
Right.
And all the Chinese people open Arabic savory shops, as you do. Like the English, the Greeks open English fish and chips, and the Vietnamese open bakeries.
And like the Egyptians go and open Italian restaurants whenever they're overseas.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Chinese open Arabic savory shops, you know.
Right, but then, okay, now this is matters. I'm glad you mentioned food, because you then come back to Australia and you're here to tell one of the things you're doing right now is you're telling your life story in a performance. This is this amazing thing that A is for Atlas do. They're like a performance company.
Where
people actually come to your house,
mm-hmm,
and you cook for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feed them food and tell your life story, and the food is telling your life story. But with your life story, I have no idea what cuisine's going to turn up.
Well, and also I sing. Nathan is actually with me, and we wrote 2 new songs, and I sing. I am cooking Brazilian food with a world je ne sais quoi. I make the Brazilian beans, the feijoada, the black beans, but I put those preserved lemons, those Moroccan lemons in it, and I put some Mexican achiote, which is a paste. I mix all together with some other stuff.
And not Chinese?
No. Well, there's some shiitake mushrooms.
Is that Chinese?
I don't know.
Shiitake mushrooms are actually Chinese. The Japanese actually call it shiitake, but we call it tonkin.
Joe, I want to say, you got to do one of these. What are you going to cook?
Well, I make a good za'atar, I get the Lebanese bread and I put the thyme on top of that. That's easy.
And the
sesame
seed.
Thyme is money. Because it's very generous of an Egyptian like yourself to call it Lebanese, Joseph. That's extraordinary.
Look, I'm universal. Globalization. You do duka. Yeah, exactly, that sort of thing. That'd be quick. It's just very hard to play the oud and cook at the same time.
You do it before people.
Oh, is that what's happening,
yeah.
David?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I've got great visuals of you swinging on things with a frying pan.
I tried to negotiate with my director to hide behind the stove, and he said no.
So it was at the same time.
It didn't work, so I had to do it before.
Do you know sahlab?
Yes.
Yeah, I make a good sahlab.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll reveal my secret here. No one does it. I put crushed banana into it.
Oh. Sahlab with crushed banana?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Look at that. It's damning. It's causing ripples. You watch the front page tomorrow of the Egyptian Times.
Yeah. Sahlab. Masmalyom will be all over. Sorry?
Sahlab is a drink?
Sahlab,
yeah. That's what I'm thinking. With banana? I will try that.
Exactly. There you go. Crushed banana. It'll melt. Beautiful.
I've got to ask you the question, actually, before we go out there, Joseph. Where do you stand on the Egyptian food argument? Because I know people who travel throughout the Middle East will argue that the Syrians are definitely at the top.
Yeah.
And the Egyptians are way down the bottom. And I protest that grandly, but I just want to know whether or not I've got a brother on that.
Well, look, I think the Egyptians are at the top of everything in the Middle East. That's the problem, you know. They don't want to take that, even the language. You tell me another in the Middle East, what dialect do they sing in?
Exactly.
Aha, yep. The Egyptian dialect. Thank you very much. That's my case closed.
Yep.
My case is closed.
That and Tamiya and you're done.
Tamiya, top of the hierarchy.
That's better than falafel.
But see, that's the other thing. Like, Tamiya is falafels. See, the Lebanese just changed the name.
Yep. And then used an inferior ingredient. We're going to go out with a track from your latest album, David.
Yes, now, it's called Focci.
I'm a bit worried about how to pronounce this, but I'm going to say Prake Vingança.
Vingança.
Vingança. See, I'm not even going to try. I wouldn't go anywhere.
Prake Vingança. Why revenge?
This is part of that Brazilian jazz that I was talking about.
Indeed.
What are we going to hear?
You're going to hear a composition by myself and Nathan Slater. For our band, Tattoo Hey, it talks about the notion of not needing revenge, but just indifference.
And the album's called Forte?
Forte.
He says it a lot better than I do. Permission to Evaporate. Pretty sure I got that one right. That's Joseph Tawadros's new album, and it's a cracker. Joseph, congratulations on it.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having
Wonderful work, Joseph.
Oh, thanks, impressive. David. It's great. Hopefully we cross paths soon.
I hope that.
That album's out on ABC Music, but let's go out with a little bit of David Chong's work. And if you are interested in eating some of his work, you can. His show is called Acrobat. It's running from the 3rd of July to the 12th of July. It's at a private home in Malvern in Victoria. I'm not going to give the address out on air. That's probably a little dangerous, but you can get tickets by going to aisforatlas.org.au/AA. You can go and eat and maybe listen to Permission to Evaporate, Joseph Tawadros's new album, In the Car on the Way. Gents, thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very, very much.
That's The Drawing Room, back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Here's David.
Pra que vingança? Eu amei meu coração. Eternamente te dei todo meu amor. A minha vida só amei sentido, não. O meu vazio não tem como explicar. Pra que vingança? Te relaxa, meu amor. Indiferença vai causar muito mais dor. Pra que vingança? Te relaxa, meu amor. Indiferença vai causar muito mais dor. Pra que vingança? Eu amei meu coração. Eternamente te dei todo meu amor. A minha vida só amei sentido, não. O meu vazio não tem como explicar. Pra que vingança? De relaxa, meu amor. Indiferença vai causar muito mais dor. Pra que vingança? De relaxa, meu amor. Indiferença vai causar muito mais dor. Pra que vingança? Te relaxa, meu amor. Indiferença vai causar muito mais dor.